All right. Boy, good morning. Heck of a morning, huh? Let's see, deacons meeting on March 15th, and then the Lord's Supper is on March 29th. Is that wrong? Oh, I'm not here. Yeah. That's right. There's the note right below that, right? Jason will be here on March 15th. We'll be out of town, so I'm not sure. I guess we'll reschedule that deacon's meeting. And that's all the new things I have. The young adults Bible study is still taking place, so if you know anyone who'd be interested in that, send them this way on Friday nights. Yeah. And I think that's it, so we'll go ahead and dismiss the children. There are many people across America who are late to church this morning, so don't worry about it. We're doing just as good as anybody else. I just hope you don't catch up on your sleep in this next hour. But you're more than welcome to. Well, here we are to James again, number 19 and 20. Verses James 1, 17 through 20, looks like. And I never did give, we'll talk about that later. But here we are, back to James. Before we get going, why don't we take advantage of God's grace and go to Him in confession. And He gives us that forgiveness, that cleansing that we need daily before anything that we do, because we're here to walk in the light as He is in the light. And in order to do that, we have to be cleansed. So let's go ahead and take care of that, and we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the time that we have together as a church family, as the body of Christ, to learn your word, to continue to fellowship as like-minded believers. And we just know that you have an eternal plan that has been in place for eternity. And we know that what we do and how we do it has already been known. And so we thank you for the just the resources that we have to live in the Christian life and to glorify you. We ask today that we can take these things and make them a part of us and just continue on the road to spiritual maturity. We thank you, and we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are back, and we've been talking about a lot of subjects. The book of James has a lot of subjects, topics in it, a lot of doctrine, a lot of different things. And I think mostly, lately at least, what we've been talking about is the word good. Good's good, right? Well, it depends on how you look at it. What we've been seeing is good, all good is not considered the same. All good is not equal, right? Because specifically we're looking at what James is talking about is not just any good, it's God's good. And that's I like to call it God's good, but we call it divine good, which is just as good because it tells you where it's from. The source is the point of the what we call it, divine good. You could even call it eternal good. It all makes sense to me because it comes from God is the point. So divine good is what James 1:17 mentions. And that's not the only place, by the way. There's many places in the Bible where the word agathos is mentioned, which is God's good or divine good, and that's where the source is. But this was an area we've been kind of spending a lot of time on, and I think for good reason. Sometimes we get kind of, we forget about what good is in our own personal life. But that's a big deal, because for the Christian, we have to be aware of the things that we do and how we do them. And that is exactly what the believers in the book of James have forgotten, right? They are believers. They are living the Christian life. They are experiencing the trials, but they've forgotten how to live and forgotten how to apply the things that they maybe once knew before, because we know that they were at one time growing believers. And you can tell this by the things that James is saying. Remember this and do this, and you know, this is what it was like. So they know these things. As we're going to see today, James has a command that says, you know this, right? Or know this, as we're going to see, they both apply here. But we've got to call it out, because the obvious choice here is God's good, or good that we define ourselves. And that's what we call human good, because it's from us. It's something that we can concoct, that we see as good, that we even feel is very good. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what we feel or what we think. It matters what the Word of God says. Isn't that always the way it goes? It is. I can convince you of a lot of things, but my opinion doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if my opinion doesn't align with the Word of God, what is an opinion? It really is not much. I mean, I understand an opinion can come into things, you know, but we've still, the Word of God is our anchor. And if we don't use that anchor to keep our viewpoints in the right area, what do we have? Not much. So that's kind of where we're at. Because the truth of the matter is that, I think we saw this in Isaiah 64, where it said, all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither away like a leaf. That's what we have to bring to the table. That's the reality that the Bible is telling us what we are and what we can do as far as good is concerned. Right there. That's what all of our deeds are like, a filthy garment. And so the Scripture describes us also as being dead in our transgressions. That's what we have to bring to the table. That's the reality of the human nature in Adam. In Adam, all die. Pretty bleak, right? But at least we know that. At least God has revealed that to us in His Word, because it's something we need to know, because it tells us that, okay, there's nothing good in me. Guess what? It allows us to go to God for anything that is good. And that's the solution. God's good, not our own, right? So we have some believers here who are probably being influenced by a lot of things, including themselves. Isn't that how it works a lot of times? They are Jewish believers, which means they came from a lot of Jewish religion as well, right? They are Jews, but at the same time, they are Christians at this point. But think about the religion, how it's influenced them, how they've been a part of it, what they've seen around them. And so, as you know, religion has a way to get people to see things a little bit differently, to see things differently from the Word of God. And in this case, when we're talking about good, being good, and doing good things, religion has a tendency to teach that this is something that you can do. This is something that you can come up with in your own ability, by yourself. In other words, it's not necessarily a word that is from God or something that is specifically from God. It's something that you can form and produce inside yourself, and then you can be good enough and God will approve that good. See how different that philosophy is than what the Word of God actually says? Paul says all good comes from above. In other words, all good comes from God. There's nothing that we can produce or go out and be a great person or be a good friend or be an honest, whatever the case, whatever we define as good, doesn't matter, right? Because there's nothing in me except being dead in my transgressions. So that's why James is hitting on this, at least I think, because he's trying to say we can't become good on our own, right? We need God and we need His good. So it's the same old story though, right? With man and religion, there's always an alternative to the Word of God. Salvation is by grace through faith. Well, religion said it's through your works, how you please God, what becoming a good person and being approved to God. See, it's always an alternative. And it's the same with living the Christian life, right? The Christian life is lived through the Holy Spirit. That's through God Himself. Do you realize that everything comes to us through the Holy Spirit that is divine, that is spiritual, that is valuable? Well, religion tells you that you can produce all that on your own by doing so-called good things, contributing your goodness to society, right? So there's always an alternative version of everything. And if you're not locked into the book of, or the Bible, the Word of God, you'll believe it. You'll buy into it. And that's why James says, do not be deceived. You know, he talks about all these things. He says, don't be deceived, which was a command, right? The command was there, very specifically to tell believers, this is what is happening to you. This is what is happening. You're buying into these false ideas, these false doctrines, these religious concepts of what good is like, and you're Christians, yet you're not living as Christians. And so, huge problem. But you know, it's a big problem today. It's a big problem today because we have sin natures, and those sin natures seem to be out of control in the church, in the Christian church, and it's a sad thing to see. And the problem with that is some people have spent their entire lives trying to make themselves into a good person through a religious setting. Do you see the issue with that? That's a lot of wasted time. If you ignore components of God's Word, you can waste a lot of time in this life. Because we've already seen when we ignore God's ways, guess what? Well, we lose sight of the fact that there's only one good and that the only good that we can produce or have is from Him. Oops, missed that one. Well, that's a problem. That's a huge problem. And I think that's why you have so many people being that willfully ignorant that I told you about at this point in their life. Because it's very hard to admit to yourself, admit to God, admit to yourself that what I've done was in the wrong way, that was disobedient to God, was in denial of His Word, because I just didn't want to, I wasn't positive at that point in my life, right? But I say, why not? Why not admit that? Why not start now and move forward with something valuable instead of saying, let's just keep going in the same direction, right? And that's why James is hitting on this, I think, to get these believers to wake up. You know, you're saved. Anyone can wake up as a Christian. We have a lot of sleepy Christians, but that doesn't mean we can't just, you know, wake up. So I'm sure you know some sleepy Christians. And we've all been sleepy at one point in our life. We're sleepy now, right? We lost an hour. So, but you get what I mean, right? We know a lot of people who are off track in the spiritual life. So nothing is keeping them from getting on track except themselves, becoming in tune with the Word of God and continuing in the right direction. So that's the reason why I'm spending, I think, extra time on this. On this subject, because the fact that what we think of as good isn't going to change the fact that all good is going to be tested for quality. And that's the, you know, the reality of this and the shocker of all this to some people. Oh no, you know, it's going to be checked. You know, it's kind of like going through the airport with something in your bag you don't want them to find. Are they going to pull the bag? Are they going to check it? Are they going to, you know, uh-oh, what do you got in there? Are they going to, you know? Well, guess what? All bags are going to be checked in heaven. That's one way to see it. Every one of them. They're all going to go through the x-ray, the divine x-ray, and see whether the good is of quality, agathos good, God's good, or not. So why not start to at least build up some of that good while you know about it, instead of just continuing and having a bag full of nothing. Nothing. No value. So we're looking at eternal value and things that God will approve at the judgment seat of Christ. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to stop trusting in ourselves. We have to stop trusting in ourselves to do something that we can't do. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about doing something that's impossible for us to do, but we're still trying to do it. In other words, be a good person. There's a lot of good people in this world on the surface, but we're not talking about good people on the surface. That's what we call a hypocrite here. A good person on the surface may not be a good person in the soul. This is talking about being a good person through and through and doing it as in obedience to the Word of God. There's a big difference, right? And I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with a good person on the surface, because we all appreciate that. That is good. That is a form of humanly good that is beneficial to people. I'm not trying to discount that. But what I'm saying is that there's a deeper level to this. There's a much deeper level here. So God is good. Agathos good, which means He's the source of it. And I'll add here that He's also the producer of it as well in us. He's also the producer of it as well. Because we're simply a vessel. That's a good way to understand the Christian life. We're just allowing God to use us. Willingly, by the way, willingly. We don't have to do that. We can fake it until we, you know, fake it. Not fake until you make it, just fake it. I mean, we can fake the Christian life, but that's not being a vessel that God is using. You know what I mean? That's just appearing as a Christian in the power of the flesh, is what that's doing. We've got too many of those. We've got too many fleshly Christians that appear to be Christian. And they give the church a bad name because they're hypocrites, right? They do one thing, they say one thing, and they do another. Their values, their morals, their spiritual value is all over the place. So we have to just realize that we don't have much to give, and our sin nature wants to contribute a lot of things. And so if your sin nature can take credit for something, it certainly will. And that's where we come in. Volition. Volition is the one that stops the sin nature or allows or is obedient. It's the yes, no. That's what volition is. So the sin nature wants to take credit for everything. Everything. It wants to take credit for your salvation. It wants to take credit for your spiritual life, living the spiritual life. It wants to take credit for everything that God can do and does through the Holy Spirit. That's what it wants to take credit for, which is everything in the spiritual life, right? That's what the sin nature just loves to do. So, and it doesn't even matter if you've convinced yourself that your works are somehow better than this person's or that person's. It doesn't matter. It's still the same underlying problem. What we've been talking about. Sin. Sin. Right? The lust, the lust of the sin nature is the underlying problem here. that can only be dealt with in Jesus Christ. That's the only solution to sin. And I'll say that's the only solution throughout the spiritual life, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Number one, that's solved at the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone solves your position in sin. It really does. Why? Because at that point you're a born-again believer, a new creation, a new creature in Christ. You have the ability to overcome your sin nature at that point. Before you didn't. Before you were consumed by your sin nature and it was leading you around by a leash. But after that point, you were indwelled by the Spirit and God gave you Himself to be able to overpower that sin nature with Him, with Himself, in you. So that's a huge deal. But guess how all that came through? It wasn't from something you worked up or conjured up. It was through faith. You realize that? That all happened through faith. And that concept of faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, to overcome your sin nature, happens at salvation, and it continues to happen as you live the Christian life. And I don't mean you're somehow being saved over and over. What I mean is you're trusting in God above and beyond what your sin nature wants. That takes faith. It really does take trusting in God over yourself. It does, because your sin nature is going to convince you that you got this. You can do it. You're strong enough, you're powerful enough, you've got the skills that you need to do this, to take this on. And you do have a lot of those things. I don't want to discount those things. But at the end of the day, God needs to use you in ways that we cannot use ourselves. So we need to allow Him to do that, and that requires faith, trusting in Him to do that. So He gives us eternal life, but guess what? We still have a sin nature, right? We do after that point. And as I hope you're seeing in the study, being saved is not a guarantee to persevere in good works, as the Scripture describes it. That was in Romans 2:7. Persevere in good works is not just an automatic. Just because you're a believer, you're going to just start producing good, doing good, being a good person, agathos, good. No, it's not. And that's what James is trying to get these believers to see. They're already saved, they're eternally secure, but they're not producing any good works in the circumstances that they find themselves in. That's where we're at. That's exactly where we're at. And that's why James says all good is from God. It's not from you. So yes, there can be a disconnect there. And there is a disconnect. We have the same problem today. They had the same problem in the book of James. And think about it. These are new believers in the transition from the age of Israel to the age of Christ to the church age. A lot of these believers have been through all this in a short time. I mean, these are the believers right after the church began. A few years, 15 years after the church began, the book of James was written. So a lot of these believers have seen all these transitions, have seen Jesus, have seen all these things, have seen the law being fulfilled in Christ. That had to be confusing for a Jew. What, we're no longer under the law? And so there's a lot of things that were happening, but at the end of the day, they can't be excused for not living in a way that is from God and biblical at this point, because everything is provided. That's one thing about this life, is God always gives us enough information to do what we need to do. Always. We can't ever claim ignorance. We can't ever claim I didn't know, or there just wasn't enough. There wasn't, God, there was no church out there. I never could find a church. There's just not enough truth. There's no pastors to teach the truth. No, we have everything we need. We have everything we need in plenty of it as well. But see, you have to be willing to find it. So So the disconnect, and I think this is obviously where many Christians go wrong, because Satan makes it so tempting for people to substitute things for the Word of God. And now I'm talking about Christians. He makes it so tempting to substitute anything and everything for the Word of God, just as these believers in James have. They started substituting things for the Word of God, and now look where they're at. They're failing tests in the trials. They're arguing. They're angry, as we'll see. They don't have good relationships as Christians. So yep, there's the problem. And the problem, I can do that through, Satan can do that through what attracts people to a church outside the desire to know God's Word. Anything outside of God's Word that can attract people to a church, to get them to the church outside of God's Word, is how he gets them. That's how he gets them. See, because if you're drawn to something minus the one thing that is the most important, guess what happens when you get there? Well, that one thing that's most important isn't just going to come out. You know, it's not just going to appear like the Word of God. If you're attracted for the band, for the big church, for the people, for the whatever, fill in the blank, the Word of God isn't going to just somehow appear out of those things, because it wasn't what you were seeking originally. It wasn't what you were seeking. But that's what Satan uses to draw people in. And the reality is, we are interested in those things. We're people. We like music. We like a lot of people, some of us. We like, some of us don't. We like certain things. We like entertainment. We like, you know, like-minded people. We like people that are our same age group. We like certain things like that, fellowship with certain believers, groups. But at the end of the day, what are we looking for? What are we looking for? If it's not God and seeking Him at its core, we will be lost and swept up in what Satan is trying to sweep us up in. So, and we'll lose sight of God's Word. And that's one of the strategies of Satan to attract people to churches. And once they get there, you realize that their priority is not the Word of God. It actually wasn't the Word of God before they got there. And so, you know, they're left with all the things they desired, and they leave off the accuracy, living the spiritual life. That's really what the church is all about. 100% we preach the gospel, right? Save individuals out there that are there to be saved. But guess what? Most of the time, we're preaching about living the spiritual life to saved individuals. That's what the majority of this is all about. That's what the pastor does. So if you go to somewhere that you went for the music or for the whatever, the popularity, well, guess what? You've lost sight of the accuracy in living the spiritual life, if that was your focus. That's the main part of the Christian life. After salvation, it goes saved and you go to heaven. Guess what's all in between there? Phase two, living the Christian life. So we have a lot of Christians who don't even have a clue about agathos or good. There's a difference between good. I thought if I just show up to volunteer at so-and-so program that I would be clocking in my good clock with God, right? See what I mean? That's what religion teaches you. But Satan has got them off track from the truth and accuracy of God's Word. So guess what? They're inaccurate. They're inaccurate as a result, which is not good. But that's why the study in James is leading us to be accurate in knowing what is good and how we can produce it. That's why James is talking about this. So the first point was that it's not from us, it's from above. And I think another part of that is there's nothing in us to produce it or become good in God's eyes. And this is why James refers to the Father of lights in James 1:17. Let me go ahead and read this just to get your gear spinning. We're still thinking about taking our hour away from us last night. James 1:15 says, "Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." You know, if nothing else, if we don't get anything else out of these lessons, I guarantee you, you'll at least know the words of James better. I'm trying to read it a lot because so it's in our mind. You know, at least we'll have the words. Maybe the words will come to mind after we get done with this. But verse 17 here led us to 1 John 1:5, believe it or not. Remember we got done with verse 17, which talked about every good thing coming from above, and it talked about the coming down from the Father of lights. And we relayed that to God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all, right? Which led us to 1 John 1:5. And let me just put that up here. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And this led us to put the focus on our responsibility to this light. Because we do have a responsibility to this light. Remember, we're talking about good, we're talking about light, we're talking about these things coming from God because He's the only one that is good. Ephesians 5:8 might help you. "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We brought this up last class, but this is where we're going because this is where James is trying to get these believers to see. Saying this is what you are. This is exactly where you came from, and this is where you are now. In other words, it's a new position you're in. You're a new person. Here we are. So, and I would say here's our responsibility as well. And the believers James is writing to, right? And I want to now go back to 1 John, because after the verse that says, God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all, then you have verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." So, and when you see walking in darkness, for the believer, all that means is walking, being out of fellowship with God. Walking in the power of the flesh. That's what walking in darkness looks like. As a believer, that's what this verse is talking about. Walking in darkness. And did you see the reason why this happens? It's in this verse. Why we walk in darkness is actually here. Because we do not practice the truth. That's what it says right here. We lie and do not practice the truth. Right there. That's why we walk in darkness. Now, practice the truth means not just to hear it, but or go through the motions, but to actually do it. That relates directly to the book of James, as we're going to get to in chapter 2. Not just, you know, it's not just, well, I don't want to go there because I don't want to confuse people. But it does include practicing the truth. If you don't practice, you're not going to be successful, at least in this context. And what I mean by that is we have to want to accomplish the truth. Do the truth, not just hear it. So practicing includes hearing, But don't forget about the application part of this. You have to remember the application, right? That's what practice looks like. If we do this, according to this verse right here, we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. But did you notice, look on the bottom here. Notice what's on the bottom. If, when we do this, when we walk in the light, it says, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that interesting? This is actually a reference to confession. Before it, confession is mentioned, which is down in verse 9. Here it is. This is just showing us what takes place. Right? We're being constantly cleansed through confession, which is what allows us to walk in the light as well. Practicing the truth and being cleansed from, by the blood of Jesus through confession, right? And whether you've guessed it or not, I'll tell you where we're going with this. But let me say this first. Cleansing us from all sin is not the same as confession. It's not exactly the same. It's showing us what happens as a result of confession. The cleansing of sin is what happens when we confess. So, but it's what God does when we do confess. And I want to make that known because there isn't a volitional component of this that comes into play. You do have a part to this. Let's keep reading through this because this is a good set of verses. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So right after it talks about the Jesus cleansing us from all sin, confession is behind that. But if you say that you don't sin, see the issue here? The issue is always us when it comes to doing something right or doing something wrong. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous or just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. The reason why I wanted to take us here is because this word cleanse is very critical in the believer's life. It is critical. It's the problem that the believers are having in the book of James. It's why they're not producing any good, God's good. It's why they're not walking in the light. It's why all problems in the Christian life take place. They're not being cleansed, spiritually cleansed. Now listen to this word. This will help you understand why this is so important for us as believers. Think about this. It's a word that means to cleanse for ritual purposes. In other words, to purify something so it can be used in a holy way before God. That's exactly what that word means. That's what the word cleanse here is in our verse. So to make clean, it can mean to make clean, to heal a person of a disease that makes one ceremonially unclean, to purify through ritual cleansing. So now you know kind of where this is coming from. We're talking about a person. We're not just talking about a something used in a ritual. We're talking about something being used for God's purposes, and it has to be prepared before it's used. That's what we're talking about. So that's how important the cleansing is, because look at 2 Timothy 2:20 real quick. Look at this. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. This is exactly what we just talked about, why we're cleansed and what we're cleansed for. This verse is bringing all that out. That's why cleansing is so important. And by the way, This, you see this ekkathairo on the bottom? That's the word for cleansing. Guess what our word for cleansing was in 1 John? Kathairo. It's the same word, except it has an ek on the front of it, which is only used to show us the emphasis of the cleansing. This is used, it's the same word, kathairo. You see it at the second half there. But this is defined as, instead of just to cleanse, it means to cleanse thoroughly. To cleanse thoroughly. So it's showing us I guess it's emphasizing the word, or to cleanse completely. And did you notice that this isn't something that automatically happens? It's not automatic. I should have highlighted it. Look at the verse 21. If. That's a little word that says a lot. If anyone cleanses himself. Not if your brother, not if the priest, not if the pastor. If anyone cleanses himself. Himself. This is on us. This doesn't rely on any pastor, church, any priest, anything outside of you. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. If anyone cleanses himself, cleanse from the dishonorable things mentioned above. Specifically, what this is a reference to is sin. Sin. The dishonorable things in our life as it relates to cleansing and being used by God is sin. God can't use a fleshly person. He can't use a sinful person, a person that is not cleansed, out of fellowship with God, right? He can't use it. It's dishonorable. And so what I would like to come back with after we take our break is to see all what good things this does for us. That's a lot. That is a lot of things. That's the entire Christian life, if you think about it. I don't know about you, but I know I want to be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. That's four things. That is a list. All from, if anyone cleanses himself from these things. That is a lot. So, but on the flip side, guess what? If you don't cleanse yourself, you will not be a vessel for honor, not sanctified or useful to the master or prepared for every good work. Ouch. Ouch. So let's go ahead and take our break. I know that hour is taken away from you, is creeping up on you. So, no, it'll probably hit you this week. It's too early. It'll catch up. Actually, Dave didn't skip a beat. You didn't even know about it. I should have done that too. Just show up at right on time. Anyways, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll come back at our second service. Dear Father, we thank you for this reality check about who we are, what our sin natures are capable of, and the fact that we have the power over what that sin nature does, and also how we're used and how useful we are to you. We thank you for the ability to walk not in the flesh but in the power of the Spirit through what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. The only issue in the unsaved person's life is, what do they think about Jesus Christ? Every other issue is a periphery. Every other thing is not as important as Jesus Christ. The Scripture tells us that the only way, the truth, and the life is through Jesus. He is those things. And so we just continually pray for our country and continually pray to be used in places that people need to hear about Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. What do they think about Jesus? That's the only point here because He's the only one that solves the sin problem. He died for the sins of the world on the cross. So He's the only one that can solve our problem in Adam, our problem in sin and destined to hell. He solved it at the cross. And we're so grateful to be able to receive that sacrifice and penalty paid on the cross, to receive that all through faith, through believing in Him, what He did accomplish for us. So we thank You for this gift, and we just ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.